Chapter 41. The King Who Refused the Cross. This chapter is based on Acts 25, verse 13 to 27, 26 RSV. Festus could not do otherwise than send Paul to Rome, but some time passed before a suitable ship could be found. This gave Paul opportunity to present the reasons of his faith before the principal men of Caesarea, and also before King Agrippa II. Now, when some days had passed, Agrippa, the king, and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to welcome Festus. Festus outlined the circumstances that led to the prisoner's appeal to Caesar, telling of Paul's recent trial before him, and saying that the Jews had brought against Paul certain points about their own superstition and about one Jesus, who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Agrippa became interested and said, "I should like to hear the man myself." A meeting was arranged for the following day, and by command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus had sought to make this an occasion of imposing display. The rich robes of the procurator and his guests, the swords of the soldiers, and the gleaming armor of their commanders lent brilliance to the scene. And now, Paul, manacled, stood before the company. What a contrast! Agrippa and Bernice possessed power and position, but they were destitute of the character that God esteems. They were transgressors of his law, corrupt in heart and life. The aged prisoner, chained to his guard, had in his appearance nothing that would lead the world to pay him homage. Yet in this man, apparently without friends, wealth, or position, all heaven was interested. Angels were his attendants. Had the glory of only one of those shining messengers flashed forth, the king and courtiers would have been stricken to the earth, as were the Roman guards at the sepulchre of Christ. Festus presented Paul to the assembly with the words, "King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he had done nothing deserving death, and as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. It seems to me unreasonable, in sending a prisoner, not to indicate the charges against him." Paul, not daunted by earthly pomp. Agrippa now gave Paul liberty to speak. The apostle was not disconcerted by the brilliant display or the high rank of his audience. Earthly pomp could not daunt his courage or rob him of his self-control. "I think myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, because you are especially familiar with all customs and controversies of the Jews." Paul related the story of his conversion. He described the heavenly vision, a revelation of divine glory, in the midst of which sat enthroned he whom he had despised and hated, whose followers he was seeking to destroy. From that hour, Paul had been a fervent believer in Jesus. With power, Paul outlined before Agrippa the leading events of the life of Christ. He testified that the Messiah had already appeared in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The Old Testament scriptures had declared that the Messiah was to appear as a man among men. In Jesus had been fulfilled every specification outlined by Moses and the prophets. The Son of God had endured the cross and had ascended to heaven triumphant over death. Once it had seemed incredible to him that Christ should rise from the dead, but how could he disbelieve what he himself had seen and heard? At the gate of Damascus, he had looked upon the crucified and risen Christ. He had seen and talked with him. The voice had bidden him proclaim the gospel of a risen Savior, and how could he disobey? Throughout Judea and in regions afar off, he had borne witness of Jesus the crucified, showing all classes that they should repent and turn to God and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. "For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me," To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here, testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass. Worldly great people reject the cross. The whole company listened spellbound. But the apostle was interrupted by Festus, who cried out, "Paul, you are mad. Your great learning is turning you mad." The apostle replied, "I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking the sober truth. For the king knows about these things." Then, turning to Agrippa, he addressed him directly. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." Agrippa, for the moment, lost sight of his surroundings and dignity. Seeing only the humble prisoner standing before him as God's ambassador, he answered involuntarily, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." KJV. The apostle answered, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am," adding, as he raised his fettered hands, "except for these chains." Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice, all guilty of grievous crimes, had that day heard the offer of salvation through the name of Christ. One, at least, had been almost persuaded to accept. But Agrippa refused the cross of a crucified Redeemer. The king's curiosity was satisfied, and he signified that the interview was at an end. Though Agrippa was a Jew, he did not share the blind prejudice of the Pharisees. "This man," he said to Festus, "could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." But the case was now beyond the jurisdiction of either Festus or Agrippa.